From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
We're back. We're glad you're here. Thanks so much for taking a listen to the Bill Michaels Show. We certainly appreciate it. Appreciate your time as well. Going to talk some more Packer football coming up here in just a moment. This portion of the program is brought to you by our good friends over there at Bud Light. They are the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I know you're home probably doing a little local tailgating, whether it's watching the PGA Championship, Bucks game tonight, Brewers game tonight, whatever it happens to be, or getting ready for football. Make it a Bud Light kind of night. Joining us now, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, at By Ryan Wood on Twitter, at By Ryan Wood on Twitter. So, Ryan, how you been, man?
Doing pretty well, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing okay, and getting ready for this football season. The optimism seems to be growing as if they might be able to figure this thing out. So far, we have not heard a lot about, you know, problematic, COVID outbreaks and such. So give me your thoughts on, first of all, your optimism for this season, not only getting underway, but being in some way, shape, or form, being able to be completed.
Yeah, I think it's still early on enough that it very much is a guess. But if I was to guess, I mean, I think some level of season, getting that through is more likely than not. The question to me is, can they do it while maintaining the credibility of competition and the integrity of the season and not have what's going on in baseball right now where you have complete teams having to rework their entire roster because of COVID. That to me is the question. They're going to play. I mean, they're here. They're going to play. The other part of that, what's the threshold of patience that you'll see from the commissioner's office if COVID does start wrecking things? I mean, you've seen a lot of patience in baseball. Rob Manfred's been very patient with the schedule. They've done a lot of wonky things that you've never seen in the history of baseball before. Will football have to follow suit? Will they have to be as flexible as you've seen in baseball with scheduling, with rosters, with all kinds of stuff that, again, calls in play a question of the integrity of the competition? Those are the things to me that are most interesting, even more than are they going to play or not. I think they're going to play. It's just, what does that look like?
So getting more towards the Packers, the X and O's. First of all, the Packers, I heard Mike Clemens say that they were going to probably do some practices next week, and now we're hearing it's going to be on the 15th on Saturday. Did they push something back? Did they push it back for a reason or what?
No, they had a window to get on the practice field. The window's from the 12th to the 16th to start ramping up, and in that window they decided the 15th. Pads can't be strapped until the 17th, so – it's certainly usually when they have a regular training camp, it's usually the first 2 days are non-padded, and then they get into pads day three. So it could very well be that they just wanted to get 2 days of non-padded work and then get day three into pads.
So looking at this, now we were talking a little bit earlier with Aaron Eager, Director of Research and Development for Pro Football Focus, and I was reading what Rob Domofsky had written about some scouts talking about Alan Lazard, and even though Davante Adams speaks highly of him, most seem to think that Lazard's maybe your number three or number four wide receiver. He's not the true number two. So in listening to all of that, getting the breakdown of Brett Favre today and hearing him speak on fan side, do you think the Packers did Aaron Rodgers a disservice by not getting him another wide receiver other than Funchess, obviously?
Well, they definitely didn't do him a favor. You know, I mean, they didn't address that position that helps quarterbacks if you had talent there, and instead of doing that, they drafted his very likely replacement. So, yeah, it's there were no favors done for the quarterback. Now, here's where the favor might come in hand. What's a quarterback's best friend? A trusty running game, especially an aging quarterback. If you've got a guy who's getting into his late 30s, you like to supplement that, just like the Denver Broncos did in the 90s with John Elway, with a trusty running game. And that's what the Packers are looking at. But even still, I mean, the stat to me that stands out the most when it comes to the passing game last year is they only had one 500-yard receiver. That's the first time in the history of the Green Bay Packers, going back to the 70s, the first time they ever only had one 500-yard receiver in a 16-game season. It had never been done before. In a 16-game season, they'd always had multiple, at least two guys cross 500 yards. Devontae Adams, almost a 1,000-yard receiver, just he's that perennial guy that you can count on. Their second leading receiver last year was Lazard with 477. That's not legit number two receiver production. Can he do it this year? Maybe if he builds off of what he did last year. But last year, 477 yards is not what you want to get from your number two. So, yeah, they're going to this run game, but even still, bottom line, they've got to get more out of the receiving production than they did a year ago.
How much does taking the burden off of Aaron Rodgers help in a guy that can execute the offense and improv as well as anybody when it comes to upgrade? Because the old adage is, okay, if I'm not getting stronger here, then I got to get stronger there. So if they got stronger in the run game and more versatile with the run game and throwing the guys out of the backfield and the Gara and such, then they become a better team. Do you buy into that, or do you look at it as, well, yes, they got run strong, but they were already run strong with what Aaron Jones brought to the table, plus his ability to pick up the blitz, plus his ability to catch passes out of the backfield?
Well, here's where it helps. I don't know that it's just the rushing production in terms of yards and average. I don't even know if it's the receivers out of the backfield and having that be a viable part of the passing game. I think what they're banking on it making the biggest difference is in the action pass game and building their pass game off the action fake, where a lot of big plays come in. I mean, you look at your chunk yardage plays in the pass game, a lot of times it's involved with the action fake. So what's the bedrock of being able to do that is having that consistent run threat that sucks up the defense, that defenses have to fear and respect and circle. Defenses, and Mike Pettine said the same thing when the two times they played the Minnesota Vikings last year. Dalvin Cook only played one of those games, but in the first one, going against that Minnesota Vikings offense, that a lot of weapons, right? You had Diggs, you had Thielen, you had Cook. Mike Pettine said that the key to stopping that offense was Dalvin Cook, and everything else kind of based off of that. It's not hard to see the Packers offense kind of taking the same mold, where that not just Aaron Jones, but by committee as well, they went out and they drafted A.J. Dillon in the second round. They've got guys very similar to San Francisco 49ers. They can throw at the run game in waves. And then basing the offense off the action pass game and being able to get chunk plays that way. I mean, that's where it can maybe make the biggest impact.
Talk about covering training camp without actually having access to the players and having access to a training camp.
It's different. There's no question about that. You know, what's the buzz term? New normal. It's been a new normal, and it's something to adjust to. You know, it's better than the off season. We went, you know, no OTAs, no mini camp, no rookie orientation. It was a long, dark off season in terms of having access to this team. But no, it's new. There's no question about that.
So what, if anything, have we learned so far early on in this camp? I mean, obviously it's a lot of meetings, it's a lot of Zoom, it's a lot of social distancing, and it's a lot of testing, but what, anything that you've learned that you thought, okay, this is something insightful, this is something I should probably pay attention to, or we should pay attention to as far as one of the stories coming out of camp?
Well, I think to me, one thing that stood out today with Matt LaFleur and the Zoom call that he had was he effectively said that they're going to keep three quarterbacks, which I was my expectation going into camp that they would keep Tim Boyle, but you know that a reason why they trimmed their roster down to three quarterbacks recently was so that they could give the reps to the three guys they know they're going to have. So I think today you kind of learned that, you know, Tim Boyle's a going to factor in this 53. Not surprising, because it's just a tall order for Jordan Love to be ready to go if something happens to Aaron Rodgers in September. I mean, the rookie had no offseason. It was a virtual offseason, a truncated training camp. So take into the equation as well the very distinct possibility that COVID could, you know, have some impact on the roster. You have to be guarded against that. You have to be prepared for that. If you only have two quarterbacks, you're awfully thin, even in the best of times. So, you know, I not a surprise, but certainly interesting that this is a team that seems very, very committed going forward to keeping three quarterbacks on the 53.
Real quick before I let you go, Mike Pettine's usage of his defensive front. Now, one of the things Kenny Clark said the other day is it's not the easiest to stop the run when you're in dime most of the time. Is there a thought that they're going to run bigger fronts more often now that it's become more of a balanced attack? Because it's a quarterback-driven league, we all know that, but there's more and more teams starting to run the football. Do you think they pull out of dime more, or do you think they continue to play it their way and they just rely upon Kenny up front and hope that they're able to stop the run in some semblance with Kirksey in the middle?
Yeah, I would be surprised. I mean, there's logic to beefing up the defensive front, no question, but I would be surprised just because when you look at the roster, who's going to get those snaps? Who are they going to put on the field? They're thin at interior defensive line, they're thin at the edge, and they're thin at the second level and inside linebacker. All three of those positions in the defensive front are thin. You got Kenny Clark and who? Dean Lowry. You know, Tyler Lancaster's an okay run defender. But are those your best 11? You on the edge, you've got the Smiths, and you know they certainly hope Rashawn Gary. But behind those three, who do you got on the edge in terms of a rotation going in on the field? And then inside linebacker, you've got Kirksey and question marks galore. I mean, Ty Summers had a promising seventh round pick, promising rookie season, but a lot of that was special teams. Curtis mm-hmm. Bolton's coming off an ACL, or Burks. Who knows, right? So,
right.
They're so thin on the defensive front that it's hard for me to see them really changing much, because if they put their best 11 on the field, that probably means extra defensive backs.
Great stuff as always, Ryan. We certainly appreciate it, and we're going to talk again later next week. Okay.
All right. Take care.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. That's our buddy Ryan Wood from the Green Bay Press Gazette giving us a lowdown as to what's going on in Green Bay. You can find him on Twitter @ByRyanWood. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider Hiring Drivers, right now, you work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Go see my buddy Craig and his staff out there at Wisconsin, Harley, Davidson, and Oconomowoc on Highway 67, just south of 94. They have an unbelievable selection of new and pre-owned bikes that are out there right now for you, and this is the best form of social distancing you can do. You can get some wind therapy along the way, become a part of the Wisconsin Harley-Davidson family, and the used bike trade-in still going on. They want your bike, and they're offering free appraisals and cash for your vehicle. And don't forget to mark your calendars. It's coming up fast. Labor Day weekend. I hate to say that, but it is. September 4th through the 6th for the Wisconsin Harley-Davidson Rally. They're still having their end of the rally. They're going to have plenty of live music and food and beverages and vendors. And you can stop out there for one of the three or all of the three rocking days that are going to be going on. They've got an event coming up this weekend, Bikes and Barbecue from 12 to 3 with live music from the Brew City Rockers. But if you're going to start getting ready for the rally weekend, if you're going to start getting ready, say, for Tomahawk, if you're going to start getting ready because you want to do some social distancing and the weather is still awesome, go to Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, see my buddy Craig, and let him put you on a brand-new Harley-Davidson. That is WisHD.com. That's WisHD.com. They are voted number one for 2 years in a row now from the Harley-Davidson Motor Company. So get out of the house and do social distancing the right way. Go to Wisconsin Harley-Davidson out there in Oconomowoc. Going to go ahead and take a quick break and talk a little more Brewers when we come back, and some other things that I want to discuss. But here's the question, and we were going to talk about this earlier, I just haven't gotten deep into it. Do you believe the Brewers have a good long-term starting rotation? Do you think that the Brewers have a good long-term starting rotation, not just, you know, in the here and the now, but also for the future? Do you believe the Brewers are on the right track? So let's just say you get through this weird 60-game pandemic-filled season. Do you believe the Brewers are on the right track when it comes to pitching in that starting rotation for years to come? Stay tuned. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. Here's a thought for you. and got this in a little while ago, and I thought it was rather interesting. When you talk about the 2021 men's NCAA basketball tournament, they do have odds. There are odds. And Wisconsin is a 16-1 favorite to win it all. Villanova, Iowa, Baylor, Gonzaga, and Virginia, the top five, followed by Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, Illinois, and Michigan State in the top 10. Number 11 is West Virginia and Bob Huggins' crew. And then number 12 is the Wisconsin Badgers to win the men's NCAA tournament. Wisconsin sitting at number 12. Creighton, Florida State, and North Carolina round out the top 15. But Wisconsin at number 12 right now at 16-1, really more so tied with West Virginia than anything. As a team that along that, by the way, Michigan State also 16-1, and so is Illinois. But the Badgers listed as one of the top 15s in the country, 15 teams in the country, most likely to win the NCAA tournament next year. How about that, huh? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You've got the PGA Championship underway today out in San Francisco. So that is going on. And when you also start to talk about college football, we know that, you know, that the UConn Huskies have bowed out of football this year. They're the first FBS school to do so. We'll just have to cross our fingers and hope that college football is able to be played this year. And you may see some players who are projected possibly to go into the NFL draft. You may see some of those players decide not to play this season, rather go to private workouts and such and try to hone their skills and get themselves more combine ready and go from there. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in, do it. Again, 855-830-8648. I do want to give you this because I want to let you know what the leaderboard looks like. Scottie Scheffler, by the way, he is through 12 right now. He is at 4 under par along with Zach Johnson and Bernard Weisberger, sitting at 4 under par for the PGA Championship so far. Tony Finau having a nice day at 11 holes complete at 3 under, along with Jason Day and Dustin Johnson. Also, Alexander Norin. He is also up there on the leaderboard. And when you start, Brooks Koepka, the defending champ, a back-to-back champion, he is at 2 under. He's 2 shots off the pace right now. Justin Rose also back at 2 under. But then you start looking, you start to go on down the list here. Xander Soufflé at 1 under. A whole host of people, including Tiger Woods, at 1 under. Tiger Woods 1 under through 7. So 3 shots off the pace right now. So not a bad start to a rather foggy and cool day out in San Francisco at TPC Harding Park. And that's where the PGA Championship got underway a little bit earlier today. So at least that's getting you caught up as to what the scores are. And I know that the Tiger Tracker is out, and I'm watching on Twitter, and I'm watching on ESPN as everybody is tracking Tiger. By the way, he's changed up his putter today too. He went with a different putter. So he felt his putting was just a little bit off, so he went with a different putter. And he is out there, not for the first time, but certainly for the first time in this particular, on this golf course, in this particular setting that he's going with this new putter. So some interesting stuff coming out there. We were talking a little bit earlier about the Brewers. And Hauser throwing a gem last night. Woodruff has been fantastic. So here's the question. Do you think the Brewers are set up rotationally for years to come? Just with a little bit of tweaking maybe? Or maybe with one free agent here or there? I mean, you've got Woodruff, Hauser, Lindblom, and Brett Anderson. Those are your four main starters right now. Obviously, you're going to figure out what you want to do with Hader and Corey Knebel, and hopefully he can continue to come back. And you've got David Phelps there right now, and Suter, and Devin Williams. There's Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns, another guy that you can throw into that mix. But do you feel the pitching for the Milwaukee Brewers is strong for years to come? Do you really feel that this is strong for years to come, that if they just get a piece or two, that they really could end up having one of the better, most unheralded pitching staffs maybe in the National League? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Do you feel that the Brewers, led by Brandon Woodruff and Adrian Hauser right now, have that good long-term starting capability for your Milwaukee Brewers, that they're going to be one of the better rotations by the time it's all said and done in the National League. This is from Bobby. Bobby writes in Wendy's email inbox, I think they're good. I don't think they're great. People are giving them a lot of credit right now. Let's see when hitting catches up to pitching. What if it doesn't, though? What if it doesn't? I mean, you've got a pretty good team that you just faced and are facing tonight again in the White Sox, by far the best offensive team right now in either Central, and that's who you're facing. And last night, Hauser did a magnificent job of keeping them at bay. And it's not like they're giving up a ton of runs, but the offense hasn't really helped them. But I think it's a pretty solid rotation. But is it going to be, do you think they've set themselves up to be a really good, solid rotation for a few years to come? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Optimistic-wise, Brewers fans, how optimistic are you regarding this pitching staff for this year, next year, maybe a couple of years down the road? How optimistic are you? Would love to hear from you. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Van Horn. Van Horn Automotive, they are looking to buy your car. Doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to be forced to trading it in for something else on their lot. If you just want to sell your car, don't worry about the paperwork. Don't worry about the appraisals. Don't worry about people coming to your house and just kicking the tires. Take it to Van Horn Auto right now, and they'll give you the Kelley Blue Book Fair Instant Cash Offer. You can do it online as well. Go to VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. And just see. Maybe you need some extra cash. Maybe you have an extra car. Not a bad way to go. And they'll give you the value of that thing and let you know what it's worth. And if you do want to trade it in, or maybe you do want a new car or a used car and you want to find a car, you want to finance a car, you want to trade in a car, whatever it happens to be, you can do it at the dealership where they're practicing all the CDC guidelines, or you can do it online. Go to VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. They have dealerships all over the state of Wisconsin. They're in Iowa as well. And, again, go to VanHornAuto.com. Again, VanHornAuto.com. When we come back, Brewers fans, do you feel that this pitching staff, barring maybe a tweak here or there, is set up for years to come? Yay or nay? 855-830-8648. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We're back, and we are glad you are with us. Thanks so much. As always, we certainly appreciate it. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Epoxy Flooring Done Right, whether it's a business owner, a resident here in the state of Wisconsin, whether you're Green Bay all the way down to Racine and everything in between, go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. Better Business Bureau, highly rated. Again, epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That's epoxyflooringdoneright.com. So the Brewers – pitching staff's pretty solid right now. They're top 10. As a matter of fact, they're ninth overall in team ERA. They're ninth in whip. They're 10th in team's batting average against them. They're third so far this year in strikeouts per nine innings. The Cincinnati Reds are the best in that particular category, but the Brewers third overall. So you look at where their team is pitching-wise, they're pretty solid. If they can just get their offensive problems kind of worked out, they'd be in much, much better shape. But their hitting situation has just been, it's been bad, for lack of a better term. It just hasn't been that good. When you talk about team OPS, the Milwaukee Brewers are 26th right now with team OPS. 26th. So just not the way you'd want to be right now, where they're at, because you got to get out of the chute fast. They haven't been able to plate runs when they needed to. As a matter of fact, when you look at their team batting average, or the OPS with runners in scoring position, they're 20th, hitting only .717 OPS with runners in scoring position. So it hasn't been their pitching staff that's let them down. It's been their offense more often than not. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Charlie listening to us in Oshkosh. Charlie, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Just a few comments. I agree with you. Interesting topic. I really like Woodruff. I really like Hauser. I think Burns is getting closer. He's getting close. Peralta still scares me a little bit. That's one guy I don't know. Lindblom is a key because we have him for two more years after this. They might just need that one steady, older, crafty veteran. And you still got Canabo, Hader. I know that's the bullpen. But good strong arms there and a couple in the minors. But, wow, that starting lineup hitting-wise is very slow.
Yep.
Older, a lot of one-year. It's kind of a transition there with, they're a base-to-base team, and that might be hard at times. But slower, older, all of a sudden, and a little, bigger bone bodies. Kind of hard to watch when you got a young, exciting team like the White Sox.
And not making a ton of contact right now either. They're not doing it consistently.
No. I'll let you go, Bill. But, I like the pitching, the strong young arms, and that's an important thing. Take care.
Yep, no doubt about it. Appreciate it, man. He drops off. You get on board, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. This one's from Jack, who says the numbers are stark when it comes to the offense of the Milwaukee Brewers. They're just not getting it done, specifically with runners in scoring position. That is something that's brought up during the broadcast quite often. Yeah, as I had mentioned, the Brewers right now 20th in all of Major League Baseball, hitting .717 with runners in scoring position so far this season. 855-830-8648. Mark says also that the starting rotation is solid. I'm becoming more and more optimistic in the future. The Packers are going to be able to play this year. Go Pack, go. So there you go. Mark, appreciate it. 855-830-8648. Do you feel that the Brewers have set themselves up pretty solidly when it comes to pitching for the next few years? Probably a tweak here or there, but do you feel that they have set themselves up pretty solidly for the next few years? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Mitch writes in Wendy's email inbox, guys, great topic. My friends and I were discussing this the other day on Twitter. I think the Brewers are going to have one of the better pitching staffs in the National League and in Major League Baseball over the next 3-4 years. They just need some of the young arms to really come of age. I don't know about coming of age. I think that they've got Woodruff as obviously solid. Hauser has proven that he is going to get better. We know that Hader is solid. You hope to get Knebel back to what his form was prior to him going down. Now, it's going to take a little while. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You can't just expect him to come back and be what he was as a closer before he went down with the elbow problem with the Tommy John surgery. So you hope that he plays well. You hope that he's, going to return to that. But I think it's a lot of pressure to put on a guy to say, okay, you got to go be this all over again when he's coming off of major surgery like that. But they do have some decent arms. I really like Peralta. Peralta's had good stuff at times, but he hasn't been as consistent. I'd like to see more consistency out of Peralta when it comes to his ability to be able to throw and give you decent outings. But Suter's been solid. Corbin Burns, obviously, is a guy that they're looking to, and he's another one of those cornerstone guys. So you just cross your fingers. I mean, Eric Lauer's another one. You know, if Eric Lauer really pans out and becomes a staple as a lefty in that group, that'd be solid too. I think that they're pretty good. I don't think they're like over the top. They're not top heavy when it comes to say a team like say the Nationals or the Dodgers. But I think, and going back to years and years and years ago, a guy like Buck Showalter, who was when he was managing the Orioles, said, "Hey, give me a bunch of twos and threes, and I'm going to give you a lot of wins." And hopefully the Brewers end up with a lot of good, solid twos and threes that give you a lot of wins down the road. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Would love to hear from you. Talking some baseball, for those that wanted to talk some baseball, some Brewers fans that wanted to talk some baseball, again, 855-830-8648. This was from Mark. Mark says, do you think that Pena is going to continue to get the start? He's had the hot hand at the plate. Yeah, excuse me. They're doing more of a platoon situation right now. But you know what? Narvaez, he was a guy that was billed as a really solid left-handed bat coming into this season. He hasn't had as consistent an opportunity, but defensively he's not on the same level as Pena. And I said the same thing the other day. When you take the guy that's supposed to be your offensive firepower and put him back on the bench, but Pena's taking advantage of it. So it's not like you're losing a lot right now by having Narvaez sitting on the bench or coming off of the bench, because Pena has played really, really well. Offensively has played really, really well. So I don't look at that right now as a detriment, to be honest with you. I just don't. I as much as I think that eventually the cream rises to the top, right now you just stick with a hot hand. And if you're Craig Counsell, that's what you do. 855-830-8648. I mean, nobody's really knocking the snot out of the ball right now. I mean, Smoke was a guy that was going to become your first baseman and give you 270, and he's hitting 156. Abiasal Garcia is hitting 250. Sogard is at 231. Keston Hira is at 235. I mean, we all know Christian Yelich isn't over 100 yet. He's still struggling a lot. Ben Gamel's been a bright spot, hitting 261. Orlando Arcia, and again, I give him a ton of credit, hitting now 350 on the season. 350. Narvaez, who I had mentioned, he's hitting 118. And Pena's at 273, so you can't just yank Pena out of the lineup, even though you want to give Narvaez some more at-bats. I mean, he's only had 17 on the season. But Manny Pena has had 11 at-bats, and he's proven that he's gotten off to a fast start. So I think those numbers are going to maintain? You certainly hope that the positive numbers maintain and then the lackluster numbers come up. But I think by the time it's all said and done, you end up getting close to the back of your baseball card. I mean, you know, that is what it is. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. They have extended the two-week sale. And if you're looking to do a little math and you want to buy three windows, then you get $250 off of a patio door system. You buy six windows, $500, nine windows, $750, and a dozen windows, you get $1,000 off. Right now, maybe you don't even need a patio door. Okay, take that out of the equation. Right now is the time to save on windows from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The two-week sale is going on. You can get 48 months right now. 48 months of those Pella Windows and Doors. You can go with that instead. Go with 48 months, no interest, 5 months, no first payment instead. Don't even worry about a patio door. But if you need one, you know it's there because they're great people and those great doors, those things are safe, they're secure. They keep the cold out in the wintertime. They keep the warmth out in the summertime. Awesome, awesome stuff. The more you buy, the more you save, and that offer ends on August 15th. So stop into the showroom or the Pella Window Experience, or you can set your free consultation right now, whether it be virtually or right in your home. You can do it by simply going to PellaWI.com. That is PellaWI.com. Stay tuned. We're going to continue on when we come back. Also, one bigger name in the NBA has picked the Bucks to go to the finals. But not to win at all. We'll tell you who it is and what we're talking about when we come back. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold training camp update. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers orientation week continues at Lambeau Field. With no OTAs or mini camps this spring, Aaron Rodgers says he missed more than just practice reps.
During those workouts, that's a time in the past where we've done a lot of, you know, fun dinners and trips to Milwaukee and Madison and, you know, Brewer games and Bucks games and barbecues and, you know, some fun hangout times.
Going 13-3 last year brought the team closer together under head coach Matt LaFleur.
Anytime you can have success, that definitely raises everybody's confidence level, especially us as coaches, and then it definitely bleeds over to our players.
And center Corey Linsley says LaFleur has stressed everyone follow the team's COVID safety guidelines.
This does require another level of discipline. Not like there are a ton of places to go out in Green Bay, but it's, you know, be conscious of how often you go out, how many people you're around. You know, it's important on the field and off the field.
I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Coming up in the next hour of the program, Will Salmon is going to be joining us, Brewers beat reporter for The Athletic. We'll talk some baseball. We'll ask him the question about, are the Brewers set up for years with the rotation that they have? We'll hear from Corey Linsley as well in the next hour, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, Kevin Durant has picked the Milwaukee Bucks to go to the NBA Finals, the best team in the East, and he believes, though, they're going to lose to the Clippers. Tonight they've got the Miami Heat. And the Heat, the only team to beat them twice so far. So I would say it's kind of a bigger game tonight. I don't think it's a, you know, win or go home game, obviously, but it's a pretty big game tonight for the Bucks. Bucks need to get this one and need to get that bugaboo of the Miami Heat and that matchup off of their back. So we'll talk more about that. Hey, there is also Roofgate. Now, we've had all kinds of different things happening in Major League Baseball. We've heard about COVID tests and about, obviously, the cheating that went on with the Houston Astros. The Astros now upset the Diamondbacks. They had offensive outburst in that 14-7 win over the Astros last night. They say it coincided with the opening of the Chase Field roof prior to the start of the fourth inning. Now, remember, the Astros still had an opportunity to bat with the roof open as well, but they'll tell you out there that when the roof is open with that light, hot air that fills that area and a little bit of a breeze, that it just becomes kind of a dome in which there's a jet stream and the balls will fly out and go a little bit harder, a little bit faster, a little bit higher in Chase Field. And so the Astros are upset. They say, although it was pretty interesting, Lance McCullers, he said, look, quote, opening the roof in the fourth is ass. Now, interesting phrasing aside, the opinion, not all that original. Pitchers have been complaining for years about having to pitch at Chase Field with the roof open, saying the ball doesn't carry well when the roof is closed. They want the roof closed. So last night, the Diamondbacks opened the roof, and then they ended up going on this offensive tear. But the Astros had just as much opportunity. The Astros just got shut down. But they say because they opened the roof up in the middle of an inning, or in the middle of the game, I should say, not the middle of the inning, that's what tipped the scales in favor of the Diamondbacks. Now, the Diamondbacks planning to open the roof numerous times throughout the season because they don't have fans. They don't have to worry about the fans getting hot and stuffy and the fans that are in the upper confines of the ballpark, so they don't have to worry about the fans. So they said they're going to go ahead and open the roof up and allow the warmer air in and such, and because they don't have fans in the stands, they're going to go ahead and do this continuously. They have talked about trying to push the envelope by having the roof open more this season, and that was just according to their parameters of what they said will be happening more often than not. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. How big of a game is this tonight for the Bucks? How big of a game is this? The Bucks tonight taking on the Miami Heat. The Heat have beat them twice already this season. How big of a game, not only to stave off the three-game losing streak, but then to beat the Miami Heat? How big of a game, in your opinion, is this tonight coming up for the Milwaukee Bucks? 855-830-8648. Hey, a reminder, a week from tonight, we're going to be out at Loopy's High Shore Supper Club in the Chippewa Valley. Come on out. We've got some tickets still available for this event. Should be a lot of fun. They're always a lot of fun. You heard a couple of emails from people that have been to these things that are going to be out there this coming week as well, or next week as well. But we hope to see you out there. And if you want tickets, whether it's to this one or the one coming up at Shenanigans in early September in La Crosse, or if you want to be at the one at the bar, which is in Rothschild in the Wausau area, all you got to do is go to tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. That's tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com and get your tickets. And tickets are going fast for all these events. They'll all sell out. They always do. But if you want to join us, get there now and get there early. Go to tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. That's tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. How big of a game is this tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks, in your opinion? This one's from Packer. Packer says, I think this is huge tonight for the Bucks. They need to get this ugly monkey off their back. They need to be able to beat a team that has beaten them, and they need to get back into the win column, win the East, get it over with, and then move on. Deadbeat Dave says, huge for the Milwaukee Bucks. The Heat have owned them. Those three-pointers in the corner have killed them. They got to play better defense. I'm looking for them to get the win tonight. Mike writes in the Wendy's email inbox, can somebody please put some glue on the fingers of the guards for the Milwaukee Bucks so they quit turning the damn ball over? And then I've got one here from Desmond. Desmond writes in the Wendy's email inbox as well, and he says, a big game tonight, not end of the world if they lose it, but it does say something about this team if they can't get over a team like the Miami Heat. Sometimes teams just have your number. Correct. I will give you that. Sometimes you just got a bugaboo. I mean, remember it was last season that the one team the Bucks lost twice to was not a very good Phoenix team, and they just got them. Phoenix, the Suns just got them last year, and that was their bugaboo. So, but I still think it's a big game tonight. Not only is it the neutral site and all that kind of stuff, but you've lost two straight. Even though your backups did admirably in the game against the Brooklyn Nets, Still lost to the Nets. You've got a two-game losing streak. You haven't been able to beat the Heat so far this year. Tonight's game, if you get a win, I think goes a long way in a lot of different things. Mentally, it goes a long way to say, okay, you've gotten over the hump. It's also you've stopped the losing streak. And I think if you do it in a very clean performance, then you start thinking to yourself, okay, we're starting to put the train back on the tracks. 855-830-8648. And you look for more coming from a guy like Bledsoe. You know, Bledsoe is going to get some more playing time again tonight. You look for him to bounce back and have another solid performance. You look for a guy like Chris Middleton to have another solid performance, the team to be just a little more cohesive. But you go back to what our emailer said, the turnovers, man. Got to cut down on the turnovers. And if you're able to cut down on the turnovers, that's going to go a long, long way in getting you not only tonight, but a lot of wins in general. 855-830-8648. When we come back, Will Salmon, Brewers beat reporter for The Athletic, going to be here. Then we're going to hear from Corey Lindsley. You're going to hear some of his thoughts. Eric Eager, the Director of Research and Development for Pro Football Focus, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned. There is a lot more yet to go. The Bill Michaels Show continues coming up right after this.
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.